Okay, so welcome to the deep dive. We get a lot of interesting stuff sent our way. But this one really caught my eye. You send this over, and it's clear that you're looking for a really different angle on how we learn and create, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're diving into it's called Loss Manual Dash One Dutch PDF.
Right.
And this it presents a doctrine of sound, and these are the words from the document, a doctrine of sound written by augurer Ocean Duran, who knew there was such a title, choreographer to the stars for foundations to living waters.
Okay, so we're starting off with a lot to unpack here
We've
already.
got a lot to unpack, so
Yeah.
let's set our mission for this deep dive, right? We're going to try to pull out the real core of what Duran is getting at, right? Their ideas about knowledge, learning, creation, and how they see the physical and spiritual worlds kind of like weaving together, you know? We're going to look at their unique take on some biblical concepts too.
It seems like there's a lot of interesting overlap there.
So you shared this because you're on this search, right?
Yeah.
You're looking for a unique perspective on how we learn and create. And that's what we're going to try to pull out here.
Right on.
So let's unpack what Augurer Ocean Duran has laid out here.
So one of the first things that really jumps out at me is how Duran sets up their framework by going right back to the beginning. I mean, like literally the first chapter of Genesis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they identify like 31 specific scriptures in Genesis as like the bedrock for what they call lines of truth.
Lines of truth, okay.
Yeah, so think of these lines of truth as kind of like foundational principles, almost like the axioms in a mathematical system, right?
Right.
And from these, Duran builds this whole understanding of learning and creation. It's a very deliberate anchoring of their doctrine in this creation narrative.
Okay, so they're really like grounding their ideas
Yeah.
in something very, very fundamental, like right back to the beginning.
Absolutely.
Right, and they're presenting these lines of truth as a kind of manual, right?
Yeah.
It's a guide for not just, creation in the biblical sense, but also for how we as people, how we gain knowledge and wisdom in our lives.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
And what's so interesting to me is how quickly they bring in the idea that our ability to actually use logic and reason, but guided by faith, that's actually, it's a gift. It's a blessed ability that allows us to create.
Right.
It's not like a passive faith, you
It's
know?
an active thinking faith that's key
It's
here.
active,
Yeah.
right?
And then they get even more specific about their doctrine.
Okay.
And they say that it's built on understanding simplicity and basics of laws, ordinances, expectations, rule, and knowledge.
Wow, so there are a lot of layers there.
Yeah.
Rule and knowledge.
Yeah, and it's all ultimately with the goal of understanding God and finding solutions through what they call living waters.
Living waters.
Yeah, so it's a very structured, very deliberate approach, you know, and they really emphasize that a solid grasp of these fundamental principles is essential for reaching deeper levels of understanding.
Okay, so you got to start with the basics. You got to get that solid before you can go further.
That's the idea.
Okay.
Yeah, and we get a few of these initial lines of truth right away, right at the beginning.
Okay.
The first one is, well, the lines of truth, just as a concept.
Okay.
And then we have, the very familiar, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Right.
And then they bring in this idea of a warrior spirit.
Warrior spirit. Interesting.
Right, which is, it's this idea that we need strength alongside knowledge to actually like bring our ideas, bring our learning to fruition,
To make something
to
happen.
make it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And they link this to the idea of bearing fruit.
Okay, so it's not just about like sitting there and absorbing information. It's about doing something with it. It's
Right.
about that active engagement, like you were saying before, with knowledge
Right.
and the drive to actually do something with what you learn. I mean, how do you think that contrasts with maybe some of the more traditional ways that we think about education?
I think that's a really crucial point, because it really suggests that knowledge it's not this inert thing, right? It requires you to take a proactive stance, to make it valuable, to make it actually meaningful.
You have to do something with it, right?
Exactly. And I think what's interesting is that, you know, the warrior spirit here, it's not about aggression, you know, it's not about fighting.
Right.
It's about this inner strength, this determination to apply what you know and to persevere in the creative process, to keep going even when it gets tough.
And linking it to bearing fruit, it's adding this element of outcome, right? Like tangible results. It's not just enough to know something. You have to actually create something with that knowledge.
To show for it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then we have this line, and the earth was without form and void, spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And they even, Duran even like, draws a direct line to Genesis 1:2 here, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Connecting that verse to this kind of initial state of emptiness before creation even happens.
Right.
Like they're setting the stage not just for you know, divine creation, but also for our own creative process, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Like the blank canvas before we even start to learn something new or create something new.
That's a really great point.
And this is where I think you'll find this particularly interesting, because this is where Duran's background as a choreographer really comes into play.
Okay, yeah, this is what I've been kind of looking forward to.
Right, how they bring that into this.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is where the doctrine takes a really unique and I think relatable turn.
Right.
They use this analogy of dance, which is, you know, it's very visual, very physical art form,
right,
to explain how we learn.
Okay.
And they say that the initial stage of learning any new movement, any new, you know, and by extension, any new concept,
right,
is about mimicking. It's about, you know, copying movements to build a sense of confidence and familiarity before you can even begin to really create something new.
Okay, so you're getting the basics down first.
Exactly.
Fundamentals.
Mastering that fundamental vocabulary.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're learning a dance, you know, you have to learn the basic steps before you can start to choreograph your own routine.
Precisely.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they talk about this mapping system that they teach.
Right.
And apparently there's a specific formula.
Mm.
You know, a structured way to think about the placement and the sequence of movements. In choreography?
But like, yeah, it's almost like a grammar of movement.
A grammar of movement. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's really interesting is that the goal of this mapping system, it's not just, you know, rote memorization of steps, right?
Right.
Duran emphasizes that as a student becomes more proficient, you know, this system becomes ingrained, almost subconscious.
It becomes like second nature.
Yeah, second nature.
Right.
And that's when all the human senses start to become fully engaged in the process.
Okay.
It's no longer just about the physical execution of the movements. It becomes this holistic experience that involves, you know, sight, sound, and that internal sense of your body and space, proprioception.
Proprioception.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's really, really fascinating.
Yeah. And you know, they make a really bold claim here. They say that this deep engagement with dance, and specifically with their mapping system, can actually enhance our sensory perception in a way that goes beyond other art forms.
Wow. That's a big statement.
It is. It is.
I mean, what's the reasoning behind that?
Yeah.
Is there, like, you know, are they basing this on studies or examples, or is it more like, you know, just from their own personal experience?
Yeah, it seems to stem from this idea that dance requires such a deep and integrated engagement of multiple senses all at the same time. You know, you have the visual aspect of the movement, you have the auditory rhythm of the music, and then you have that internal sense of your body in space, you know,
mm-hmm.
the proprioception.
Right. Yeah.
And Duran argues that this intense multi-sensory focus within a structured system actually hones our overall perceptive abilities.
Right.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture of what we're talking about, you know, it suggests that learning at its deepest level, it isn't just this intellectual exercise.
Right.
It involves our entire being, you know? It involves a refinement of our senses, of our perception.
Very interesting.
It is.
Okay. So shifting gears a little bit, you know, to this connection between mind and body, Duran talks about the mind having different levels of thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they bring in this term thought, P-R-O-C.
Thought, P-R-O-C, right.
Which is their term for this process of making decisions based on principles and morals that we've gathered from our experiences.
Right.
So is this thought PROC, is that like a specific mental framework that Duran like advocates for? Or is it, you know, can you maybe give an example of how someone might actually use this?
Yeah, it seems to refer to, you know, our individual unique way of processing information and making choices.
Right.
You know, based on our internal compass, right, of principles and morals. Mm. And Duran really emphasizes the importance of consciously practicing this thought PROC to align it with our values. Yeah. So the idea is that through consistent alignment, you grasp the essence, the essence of these principles.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to simpler and faster decision making.
Right.
It's about internalizing our values to the point where our choices become more intuitive and aligned with our core beliefs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's about knowing yourself so well and knowing your values so well that the decisions just flow naturally from that.
That's the idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they really clearly link the mind and body in producing creative output, right?
Yes.
Using dance and choreography as like the prime examples, which makes perfect sense, right?
I mean,
in dance, the choreographer has this vision in their mind, and then they have to translate that into these very specific physical movements that are performed by the dancers.
Yeah. It's a very direct and tangible synergy.
Right. It's like you can't have one without the other.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So then this leads to what Duran calls attaining a MUISESTL in 5GH 10GAWAR, which is
that's a mouthful.
Yeah,
and it might seem a bit unusual at first.
It's a unique term.
Yeah, so Duran actually clarifies this.
Okay,
and they say that this isn't just about like a fleeting moment of inspiration, you know, like the light bulb going off.
Right, the aha moment.
Yeah, true inspiration in their view is when the body actually manifests a synthesized understanding through practiced movement.
So it's like the body is actually like expressing the understanding.
Exactly. It's a physical embodiment of knowledge.
Right.
And think about a dancer who has so thoroughly internalized a technique.
Mm-hmm.
That they can express complex emotions and ideas effortlessly through their movement.
Yeah.
You know, it's like their body is speaking the language of the dance.
Right. And they've gone beyond just like the technique. They've integrated it into something much deeper.
Yeah, it's a level of mastery, you know, where
where
the mind and the body are working together seamlessly.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not just the idea popping into your head. It's the ability of your body to, through training, through really deep understanding, to actually articulate that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very clear that this, what they call higher sensory understanding, it's not something that we're just born with.
Right.
Right.
It's something that develops over time.
It's a process.
Yeah.
It's something that we develop as we kind of universally accept both what is known and what is unknown.
Right.
And they even caution against like forcing physical reactions before the mind is truly ready.
Mm-hmm.
And they use this analogy of muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
You can train your muscles to perform a movement.
Right.
But without that underlying mental understanding.
It's not true mastery.
It's not the real thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's a really good distinction, I think.
Yeah. It highlights this crucial difference between just going through the motions and truly understanding and embodying a skill or a concept.
Right.
And the progression that Duran outlines really emphasizes this holistic development, right?
Right.
Where the mind leads.
Right.
And the body follows with informed intentional action.
Right. It's not just, you know, blindly doing something.
Yeah.
It's about understanding why you're doing it.
Yeah.
So in your own field of interest, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever experienced that difference between just knowing something intellectually, like in your head, and actually embodying that knowledge in your actions?
That's such a great question. And, you know, I think about that a lot, actually, because, you know, you can read all the books, you can study all the theories, but until you actually get out there and put it into practice,
right,
It's just theory.
It's just information.
Yeah.
It's not real knowledge yet.
Right, exactly. It's in the doing, it's in the application that you really start to understand something right. deeply.
Yeah. No, that's a really, really important point.
Yeah.
Okay, so then Durand kind of lays out what they call foundational principles of knowledge.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And these include, you know, an idea that knowledge gets stronger through understanding and faith.
Mm-hmm.
The power to create, to actually make something, comes from mastering how to learn.
Right.
Strength requires development on both physical and mental levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then true understanding comes from systematic teaching combined with credible demonstration.
Right.
So they're really laying out, like, these are my core tenets, right? Mm. This is what I believe.
These are the pillars of their philosophy, for sure. And what really stands out to me is this consistent emphasis on interconnectedness.
Everything being connected.
Yeah, you know?
Right.
Durand sees knowledge, understanding, faith, learning, creation, and physical and mental strength as all being deeply intertwined. Mm. And mutually reinforcing. You know, it's not about separating these things out into these neat little boxes.
Right. Yeah.
It's about seeing how they all work together. Right, it's a right. very, very holistic view of personal growth and development.
Yeah. Okay. So then we dig into what Durand calls the three pillars of movement.
The three pillars. Okay.
Right. And they are sensory perception.
Right.
Mental processing and physical expression.
Okay.
So sensory perception is all about, you know, our awareness through our senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with a particular focus on touch and proprioception.
Proprioception, right.
Which is, you know, that internal sense of where your body is in space, how it's moving.
Right.
Even without you looking.
Without even having to see it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then mental processing becomes interpreting those sensory inputs through what they call our internal mental mapping.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking in the information and that we're making sense of it in our minds.
Right.
And then finally, physical expression is the act of actually translating that understanding
right.
into controlled, purposeful movement.
Okay.
So it's a very clear pathway.
It is.
From sensing to understanding to action.
Yeah, this breakdown is incredibly practical,
yeah.
especially when you think about it through the lens of dance, which is, of course, Durand's, you know, area of expertise.
Right.
But as you can see, I mean, this framework, I think, could be really valuable in understanding learning processes in many different fields, even beyond just the physical, right?
Okay.
Like it's a way of thinking about how we take in information and how we process it and then how we use it.
Yeah. And then they outline this, what they call the path of learning.
Path of learning. Okay.
Right. And this path progresses through these distinct stages.
Okay.
So first, you have to have faith in the learning process itself.
Okay, so you have to believe in it.
You have to believe in it.
Right.
You have to trust that it's going to work.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you acquire knowledge in this systematic way.
Systematically, right.
Right.
So, you know, you're building it step by step.
You're building on what you've already learned.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Followed by developing understanding through consistent practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about reading about it or hearing about it.
Right.
You have to actually do it.
You got to get out there and do the work.
You got to do the work.
Yeah. And then you reach this point of mastery and in independent learning.
Okay.
So you're able to learn on your own. You're able to direct your own learning.
You're not relying on someone else to tell you what to do or how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then finally you reach this stage of sharing that knowledge to strengthen your own wisdom.
Okay, so now you're giving back.
You're giving back.
You're sharing what you've learned with others.
Mm-hmm.
And that somehow strengthens your own wisdom.
Yeah, and that final stage, I think, is particularly insightful.
Yeah.
Because it suggests that true mastery isn't just about what you know, it's about your ability to articulate and impart that knowledge to others.
Right.
It's
right.
It's about teaching.
Yeah.
And the act of teaching, you know, forces you to refine your own understanding. You have to see it from different perspectives. You have to be able to explain it in a way that others can understand.
Right.
And that ultimately
you know, that process, I think, really enriches your own wisdom.
It deepens it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So finally, in this section, Duran touches on the integration of the physical and the spiritual aspects.
Okay.
And the key ideas here are that movement originates internally. It's not just like this external thing.
Right.
That physical practice actually strengthens our spiritual understanding,
mm-hmm.
that the mind and body need to work together in harmony, and that consistent, regular practice leads to more fluid and natural movement.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the physical act becomes a pathway to deeper kind of internal and even spiritual insights.
Yeah, and this recurring theme of integrating the physical and the spiritual is really central to Duran's doctrine.
It's a big thread that's running through all this.
Yeah, it suggests that our physical experiences and actions are not separate from our spiritual growth.
Right.
In fact, they're deeply intertwined.
Yeah.
And movement in this context becomes more than just, you know, physical exercise.
Right.
It's a form of expression, it's a form of exploration, and even spiritual development.
Okay. So this brings us to, I think, a really, really interesting analogy.
Okay.
That Duran makes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the difference between dictionary thinking and thesaurus thinking.
Dictionary and thesaurus. Okay. Yeah.
So Duran introduces this idea that a dictionary, you know, provides very specific, fixed definition.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas a thesaurus, it explores like the range of potential meanings and connections between words.
It's all about the relationships.
Right.
Yeah.
And Duran's argument is that if we limit ourselves to a very rigid what is, what isn't kind of thinking,
mm-hmm.
that we can actually stifle our ability to create and innovate.
We put ourselves in a box. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a really powerful way to look at different approaches to thought.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Dictionary thinking, it emphasizes, you know, very clear boundaries and limitations.
Right.
Whereas thesaurus thinking, it encourages, you know, exploration, connection, possibility.
Openness.
Yeah, openness.
Right.
And Duran is suggesting that an over-reliance on these absolute definitions, you know, it can hinder our creativity by limiting our perception of what things could be.
Right, right. And they challenge a very common societal norm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is the idea that teachers are the ones who hold all the answers and students are simply there to receive them.
Right, right.
And Duran flips this on its head.
You do.
They say, no. Teachers should actually be seeking answers.
Right.
And students might already possess them, perhaps through their own like innate creative potential.
Right.
I mean, that's a real shift in how we traditionally view education, isn't it?
It is. It really challenges the power dynamic that we often see in learning environments,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it suggests that education shouldn't just be about this one-way transmission of information, right?
Yeah.
It should also be about the educator recognizing and drawing out the inherent knowledge and the creative capacity that exists within each student.
Right, right. So it's about, you know, finding that spark in the student and helping them to fan it into a flame.